Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of the chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hopes set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. So which saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance? John Gerhardt says that it's the verse that's before our assigned reading, but I do think that our lectionary has it right. Our hope is set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And because of this trustworthy saying, and to the end of godliness in this and in eternal life, we toil and strive. What is trustworthy and what is worthy of full acceptance are all of the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Those are yes and amen promises. His word is his bond because his blood is his bond. He is the Savior of all men. And there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, because all who are saved in his name. Jesus Christ has died for all people, paid their price, ransomed their souls. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting their trespasses against them. And especially, he is the Savior of those who believe. Now, here is the caveat, to be sure. Not all have faith. There are those who will not receive him, to whom he will finally say, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Depart from me." And yet, even those who are not saved still have a Savior. And so St. Paul is not so cold about this sad question as I just was. He is at pains to impress not the trustworthiness of God's condemnation on others, but of his salvation. He is not just Savior of some or Savior of certain people. He desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's open. He is earnest in his promises. And that is why they are deserving of your full acceptance. Now, contrary to this understanding of faith, the world sees faith as entirely flimsy. It's a wish, or it's a belief that's actually held against your own better knowledge. It's contrasted with certainty, isn't it? They can't grasp faith's objectivity because they consider its promiser to be dead and therefore his believers to be people who are deluding themselves or medicating themselves. They have what they see in front of them. They have whatever slop their feed puts into their trough. And the real problem, they imagine themselves to be the masters of everything that comes to them. They are condemned to their own better judgment. They are condemned to hope in their own living And so they do not, no surprise, strive after godliness, whose value holds promise for this life and for the next. That's the other trustworthy saying near our reading. Now, I don't deny that unbelievers toil and strive. I only deny that they do it toward the same end as we do. Their end is not going to be a rest from their labors as it may appear to our eyes. Their deeds do not follow them, except to accuse them for every ungodliness. And their situation is all the more desperate in this world because of it. They really must strive and toil, limited though their powers are, limited though all our powers are, and yet they do it never toward any kind of limited goal. They strive always and entirely to save themselves and the world, if there is much difference there. And clearly, no mortal creature can accomplish that. But nevertheless, unbelieving people must live as if death will never come. Now, can that motivate you toward toiling and striving? Yes, to a degree, I think it can. But know that its earnings are a delusion. This is hope that is not worthy of the name. It is a wish. It is untrustworthy and deserving of your full rejection. Now, such unbelievers willfully misunderstand our Christian faith and us. They interpret our hope set on the living God, who saves, to be some kind of an escape. They hold that we are not, with them, sufficiently committed to this world, to its people, and to its causes. And I don't want you to be so offended that they have overlooked all the toil that you and other Christians have done. Certainly they do that. I want you to recognize that they resent our striving because it is not all-consuming the way theirs is. They cannot grasp that our interest is to preserve and perhaps even to better this world while never saving it. They cannot grasp that we gladly care for people in their suffering, but we will not renounce suffering, nor will we end sufferers. And in their desperation, they double down on their hopelessness. Pride and hubris are always their garments. And I tell you all this, dear Christians, not to inflate your egos, God forbid, rather to urge you to take heed lest you fall. Those who are mad in this world rush in crying and demand, "Why are you not mad like us?" And the answer is today's trustworthy saying. It is precisely because of our hope that we do strive and toil. It is precisely because our God is living that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Precisely because Christ is the Savior of this world, do we also care for it and love as he first loved us? And yet, never as those who are ourselves this world's Savior. Because we do look for the life of the world to come. That is what makes us free from all of the delusions that we must cling to this life only and that we must bring it to some kind of perfection by our own rage. We have a Lord who will, in fact, not only in aspiration, right this world's wrongs. And therefore, dear Christians, we are not driven mad by all of the hopelessness of sin around us and within us. And therefore, we do not take every matter into our own arrogant, ignorant, and iniquitous hands. It is the hope of the world to come that frees us to love and to labor and to toil and to strive in this world, and to do so as this world is, not only insofar as it accords with what I think it should be today. Dear saints, I want you to know that you are not mad to accept this. You have your hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So by all means, continue to conduct yourselves toward godliness, confident of the end to which you are striving and toiling, and let no one shame you for your hope or for his words. Persist in this, for only by so doing will you possibly save yourself, but also any with ears to hear as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.